from the cross to die,
from death into life,
from death into life. He went for his own, all found glory.
We are grateful, Master, once again for this opportunity to come once again, Lord, to sit at your feet, to learn at your feet, Master. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Sunday school this morning. Thank you, Master, for the morning, the main service this morning. Thank you for great and mighty things that you did in the midst of your people, Lord. Lord Jesus, that is the simple gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have gone home, oh God, you have done great things in our life already. We are very, very grateful. Thank you for going to the cross because of us, Lord. Thank you that all that you went through, the blood that you shed for our deliverance, you wash us by your blood, O living God, which Abraham said that is losing, and you lose us from the power and the debarment of sin. We are very, very grateful. Father, we pray you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, we just commit ourselves to your great holy hands, Master. Be with us once again in this evening, this afternoon, so this evening service, Lord. May you help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you add to what you have done for us this morning, O living God, that by the time we shall be going home, may we go home light-footed, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father. Have your way in our lives, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Once again, we remember your servants in other places, Lord. May you be with them, Master. See them too, also, that your name will be glorified, Father. Thank you for granting all this request, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seat while we sing from this hymn, hymn 38. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. Is the Lord good? Oh, the Lord is good all the time. The Lord is good. I want to give a short testimony before we go into this sermon, especially for our young ones. God bless you. I got to this local assembly when I was 21 years old. That was 1989. So I was a young man when I came to this local assembly. When I came, I came from deeper life. Because I had already given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ while I was in Iwo. So I came from deeper life to come and stay with my uncle. That was how I got to know about this message. When I came, I was hearing, I knew that this is different from where I was coming from. This is nothing but the truth. Children, you see this Baba sitting there. God used him for us those times when we were young. There was a Sunday I remember very well. I came to church. I couldn't lift off my eyes to look at him while he was preaching, because I knew something was wrong in my life. And what he was preaching was condemning my life. I couldn't raise my head. I stayed my head down almost all through the service that day. I think it was Sunday. You see, when the word of God is coming, what God expects of you is to humble yourself. That is where you can be delivered. So I knew what I was hearing was the truth. Pastor was here preaching. Every one of them, Olatunba was there preaching. I knew that was what I was hearing was the truth. I know it was different from deeper life. This is far above deeper life. You know, I've given a testimony of how God delivered me shortly after I came to stay with my uncle. I had a bad visitor of a lost spirit of fornication. I've given the testimony over and over here. You see, the one thing, I thank God for my parents. See, that is why we should teach our parents, our children, how to pray. One thing I learned from my parents was to pray. So, when this evil visitor came to me, I've never had that kind of testimony in my life ever since then. I fasted and prayed, because anytime I fast by the grace of God, anytime something is on my heart and I fast and I pray, God delivers me. God hears my prayers. But this time I fasted and prayed, nothing happened. I knew that evil spirit has not left me. I knew very well, because I knew the spirit. It was an evil spirit upon me that wanted me to commit fornication. In this same local assembly, I was thinking, what is the way out? I didn't go to pastor. I didn't go to anybody. I was the one solving it on my own. Don't be like me. So, I had prayed, no solution, no deliverance. And then, it was on a Sunday that I can never forget. I was sitting there, still thinking about this thing. What is the way out? When something came to my heart, anointing that breaks the yoke. Oh, mercy. I said, anointed. By my deeper life understanding, I know anointing oil represents the Holy Ghost. And I know the Holy Ghost is the only person that can break every yoke. So anointing that breaks the yoke. I said, that is true. I will go for anointing of oil. That Sunday evening, I wrote for anointing of oil. I gave it to maybe Brother Caleb that time. And I was invited to be prayed for. Pastor was not around. Baba was the one that laid his hand on me, and he just prayed a simple prayer as if I was sick. That was all. And that was how I was delivered. Praise the Lord. In this same local assembly. You see, if you think that what they are preaching is too much, that is for you. It has helped me. It has changed my own life. Praise you, the Lord. So, I didn't know. You see, Satan is wicked. I didn't know Satan at the time he was tempting me, bringing this evil anointing of fornication on me. He was preparing ground. I didn't know. So shortly after that, my uncle, his wife, the whole family traveled to Calabar with pastor and the rest of them. I was left in the house with the lady that Satan was bringing this temptation through. In 4-bedroom flat, both of us alone were in the house for about 4 days. If I had fallen, that is when the act would take place. But this same gospel delivered me. Because I knew I had given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was not ready to do evil. I knew that was evil, and I knew that the God who delivers. But how to be delivered, I didn't know. I was praying until God came on the scene. Brethren, these are our God see hears prayers. Let me go a little further. When I was praying a few weeks ago, and I was telling the Lord that I don't have anything. I don't know anything. It is your help that I've enjoyed all this while. Because something happened while I was praying. Now, my thought went back to when I was small, when I was around 12 years old. I was a door student. When he said door, I didn't know how I passed through my primary school education. I didn't know. What I knew in primary school, I don't know. So I was in secondary. I know that time was Bolaige time. All of us were given automatic promotions to secondary school. When I got to the secondary school, my first year, first time in secondary school, my report sheet was red or true. I think that was the time my father said, maybe you have to go and learn some trade. That thing touched me. And I went to God, I fasted and prayed. Lord, touch my brain. Make me to know this book. On my own, no. Because my friend have taught me how to pray. I fasted on my own and I prayed. Do you know, the second year, I started seeing myself understanding mathematics little by little. Little by little, I started understanding mathematics. Either I was scoring 30%, 20%, 15%. At the first year, I find myself scoring 60%, 70%, 80%. That was how, when I get to Form 4, I chose to do sciences. And by the grace of God, I left University of Ibadan with physics with electronics, though the diploma at level. By the grace of God, today I have my master's. So that is why nobody can tell me that God doesn't answer prayers. Nobody can ever tell me that. May I know that God answers prayers. That I have tested so many times, and God has proven to me that He answers prayers. So whatever you are going through in the line of this thing that we are talking about, that's what I'm bringing testimony. And the life, see, also, may I say this? When it comes to test, by the grace of God, I passed through it. That is why I have the confidence to preach it. One time I came to pastor, I told pastor, I said, pastor, I don't know whether pastor remember. I told pastor, I said, I found out that I can never be happy anywhere I go beside this Holy Ghost. Beside coming to Christ, beside having the Holy Ghost, I found out I can never be successful or be happy. That's what I told him. Because, you see, there was something in me that was thirsting for God. There was something in me that was pushing me towards God. I didn't know I would even preach. I never wanted to preach. That was the last time I would do in my life. It was God that places on me to preach. But I ran for... Oh, mercy. If I will tell you, I'm sorry to tell you this. I ran from God for more than 17 years before I could surrender. So I never wanted to preach. It was not because I knew that human being doesn't want to hear the truth. When you tell human being the truth, they hate you. And my background, what pastors suffered, I had a little background about pastors, what they suffered. That was why I never wanted to be a preacher. But here am I. Praise the Lord. So while we are preaching by the grace of God, I've passed through it. Until I knew that this task Until he got it, time I knew that it must be, it is between life and death. If I don't have this Holy Ghost, I will perish. And Brother Bob said, when that happens, God will do something. May God help us. So what we are preaching is not just to stand there and say something. By the grace of God, we pass through it. Young ones, we have passed through these stages. So it's not new. What you are going through is not new. But if you try to quench this task with something else, we are coming. Let's stand and read scripture. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 3. As the ass panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Why they continually say unto me, where is thy God? May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. So we have been on this sermon task. We have looked at life. We have looked at thirsting for life. We started with this sermon task that Brother Branham preached in 1965-09-19. That brought us to other sermons that he preached, thirsting for life. I think we also look at identified with Christ. I wish to this evening that we will just summarize everything and bring it to a close this evening. God bless you. Now, just a little summary. We'll get it from the sermon also. Brother Abraham taught us that we have two control tower in our body. Two control tower. He said there is one in the body. There is one in the body and there is one in the soul. So this is it is in these places that we receive a warning. We receive warning about the condition of what we needed, our body or our soul needed. And Brother Brown said, if we neglect, he ended this at the later part of the sermon before he closed, he still mentioned it. If we neglect this call, this task, he said we are going to perish. Okay. Now, but we find out that there is task in the body, there is task in the soul. The task in the soul is the task that God gave us to task after him. And the task in the body is just to fulfill or to satisfy the needs in our body or our flesh. But sometimes when the task for the soul is not being quenched, we try to source for a satisfaction for ourselves, maybe through the other tasks of the body. But one thing, like maybe you want to be successful in life, wealth, prosperity, or properties, or popularity, or whatever. Those ones are not tasks for the soul. They were tasks that occupies the place of the body. Now, if we neglect the task for the soul, a day is coming when God will say, it is time, quit, son or daughter. When that happens, the neglected task for the soul will now come up, steer you to your face. Because that is the only thing that will take us to God. The task in the soul, when it is properly quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by the person of the Holy Ghost, that is the thing that will take us to meet God. But when we neglect that task and we fulfill the task of the body, all the things that the body tasks for cannot approach to God. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. Praise the Lord. The task for the body, all the tasks in the body, Brother gave us four other tasks that are in the body, that the body calls for, that we also task after. We are going to look at it, trusting that, I don't know whether this time will be sufficient for us. So those tasks in the body, they are not meant to take us to God. You can be successful and become professors emeritus. You can be successful and have all the wealth of the world. You can be successful and have everything that you want as far as this world is concerned. But when it comes to death, those things will go away. The only one that will come up is the task in the soul. May God help us. Let me read that to you. Paragraph 92 to 98. Task 65:09-19. 92 to 98. Let me quickly read that. A man gets out. What makes a man get drunk is because he is worried and tore up. There is something lacking in him. I was at Mayor Hospital here not long ago, and I was up there on an interview, and then it was told in this that talking about drinking, and I told them that my father drank. I said, what makes him drink? I said, I don't know. He said, the doctor now said, it's because that there is something that it wasn't satisfying him, or and he thought he could drink to throw it off of his mind. Let's follow. I caught it right then. See, it was really God was the only thing can satisfy that thirst. God himself is the only thing can satisfy that woman thirst, is to accept God. Now Satan takes these things, as I said, and perverts them. Then if you won't give that task the right place in your life, and won't task and take the things that God provided to stop that task with, to quench it, then Satan will lead you to some of these stagnated cesspools of this world. You might have it somewhere. If you can't find food, you will eat from a garbage can. See, if you couldn't find water and you was dying, you will drink out of a pool of any kind because you are perishing. But there is no reason for that. When you are thirsting for God, because there is a living God, not some historical something, my soul thirsted for thee, for the living God. Something that gives living waters. Something that satisfies. There is another nature, natural, just as natural, just a natural task. In that task of the soul, you might say, but Abraham, is that soul task, is that natural? Yes, that is natural for a soul to task. And is for God, and is for God made you this way, that you will task for him. He wants you to task after him. Now, God made you like that. He didn't have to make you like that, but he did do it. And if he hasn't made you like that, so that you will task, there will be an excuse at the judgment bar. Say, I never did task for God. But there is no excuse. You do. You will make it somewhat. You might make it your wife. You might make it your car. You might make it something else. You might go to church and try to satisfy it. And I have nothing against going to church. But that isn't the satisfaction. It is to find God, the living God, the God of heaven in your soul. That satisfies that longing and thirsting that you long for. Praise the Lord. It is only God to satisfy that thirst. Praise the Lord. Now, the other time we were talking about thirsting for water, talking about a deer. And Brother Bram taught us that a deer had the smelling ability to smell the enemy. So, and I told us then that there's the other part of the smell ability of a bear. How Brother Bram apply it? So let's look at paragraph 59 to 64. 59 to 64. Abraham explained the smelling ability of a deer, what it means to a Christian. And I thought comparing the deer with a man that is thirsting for God. Before the enemy gets there, there is something about a child of God that when you once are born of the Spirit of God, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is something about the person that can sense the enemy. You can take a man when he's taking the scripture and reading the scripture and try to inject something to that scripture that is contrary to the scripture. A man that is filled with the Holy Ghost can smell that right quick. Praise the Lord. There is something out of the way. When he gets into a place and that little certain sense in there that is done to protect your life, you mustn't never go for anything unless it's exactly the word of God. You must stay right exactly with that word. And now, and we are secured with that sense as long as we are in the Holy Spirit. You can go to read, and like, for instance, somebody say, and I go to read in Mark 16, says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, or take up serpents, or drink deadly tea, it will not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, then you find a person get up there and say, now, that was for apostolic age. That, now, right quick, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you have been endowed with that sense, he sets it off. There is something wrong here, see? And they try to explain it away. That is for another day. That really, you don't need those things today. But Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. See, there is a little something set up in you, a little boozer, in knowing that that is wrong, and that is the way of death. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus said, if we had one word to this, or take one word from it, our part is taken out of the book of life. See, not one scripture. We must take it just the way it's written. And God watches over his word to perform it. And we know that it's got to be just right. So therefore, no matter what a church will say, what anyone else will say, if you are born of the Spirit of God, you become part of the Bible. God told Ezekiel, he the prophet, he said, take the scroll and eat it. Then the prophet and the scroll become part of each other. And that is the believer when he receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and the Spirit of God is the word of God. My words are spirit. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you are a part of that word, then let something come up contrary to that word. There is a little boozer set off right quick. Brabra snapped his finger. See, it's to warn you that death is in the road. We should never do that. Praise the Lord. Then Brother Brown talks about tasks for sources, tasks for fellowship, tasks for duty, and tasks for joy. These tasks, naturally, we have those tasks. Task for success, I don't know. Okay. Task for success. Every of us, so everybody wants to be successful, isn't it? Oh, sure. Baba said, we send our children to school, we pay thousands of dollars, thousands of naira, to make them to come out with good grades. And for them to have, for them to be successful in life, Baba said, as we say. Oh, may I? Let me read it. So that, okay, let me quickly read that paragraph 66. So that we know, we hear the mind of the prophet as he gets that. I want to read the one task for beauty and joy. Paragraph 66. There is also a task for success. So many people today, are we school for this task? We just noticed they started the university up, and we go down there, and people spend thousands of dollars to send their children to the school and to the universities and colleges and so forth to get an education. To be successful, they call it in life. But now I have nothing against that. Now that is all right. But to me, you could get all the schooling in the world and still have. And see, you haven't found the right sources. Is that right? And see, I haven't found the right sources. That is right. Because that will just temporarily make things a little easier for you here. And there is, but when you die, you leave all that behind you. And this entire economy that we have. Education will not take us to God. Lie. Okay. Let's look at, Brabham talks about tasks for fellowship. Say like a man and a woman, they love each other, they want to come together as husband and wife, future partners. There is nothing wrong about that. But the word of God taught us how to go about it. Praise the Lord. Then Brabham taught about it. Fellowship, we want to have fellowship with one another. Then Brother Brown talks about the actual task for fellowship, which is to have fellowship with the person of eternal life. Praise the Lord. So let's leave that. I want to read the one task for beauty because of this time. Task for beauty because of our sisters. Let's hear the mind of the prophet on this. Of course, many of us know. Just to repeat it. Task for beauty, that is in paragraph 75. Task for beauty, paragraph 75. We find many women in this day, task for beauty. Now, there isn't a woman, it's a natural thing for a woman to task to be pretty. That is a God-given instinct. And a beauty that God gave her for her mate. And now we find out that women want to be that way. Why is it? It's just because it's something God gave her. And it's not wrong for women to be pretty. They should what? Be. Sister, you should be what? Pretty. Dirtiness does not take us to God. Sister should be pretty. That is what the prophet, that is the truth. Paragraph 77. Not like some of these wire creatures we see on the streets of this day. No, no, not that kind of pretty. No, that is the horriblest looking sight I have ever seen in my life. Yes, sir. That is the perversion. That is perverting the true task. Now, the true task that a woman should have will be to adorn themselves in modest apparel and have the Christ-like spirit. Is that true, sister? Sisters, are those things right? That is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Are you there? 1 Timothy, let's see it. Let's read it. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adore themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or goat or pearls or costly array. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now that is the way that is sorry, now that is a way the woman should task to be. Now, if you want to be pretty, that is the way what makes you pretty. See, is a Christ-like spirit and adorned in modest apparel. Oh my, some of these people today out on the street, you can't tell a man from a woman. Is the most horrible looking thing that I never seen anything like it. Like human being is beyond human. Eyes painted way up like that. And you know, them funny looking lizard eyes and all them funny looking clothes. And why? All so out of form. They don't even look like a human being. And some of them boys, out here with their hair combed down, their sister's roller in front here, you know why? Is a complete perversion. Is Satan, and Satan is the perverter. Praise the Lord. The message has taught our sisters how to dress. Transparent cloth, the message is against it. Transparent cloth that will show your underneath cloth, the message is against it. Tight cloth that will show your form, the message is against it. Short cloth, the one that will show the clip of your bust, the one that will show your tie, the message is against it. Eye issue, the message is against it. I'm sorry, brother. I promise, I've not done it. Please bear with me. High issue, the message is against. Spike shoe, the message is against it. So modest apparel, simple. What is the meaning of modest apparel? You should ask the elderly sisters. They will tell you. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph 80. When God made everything in the Garden of Eden, it was lovely. Then Satan come in and perverted. Satan cannot create nothing. There is only one creator, that is God. But Satan perverts the original creation. And now he's got into perverting the original creation of past. Now, a woman, as I said before, wants to be pretty. There is something in her that she is a feminist and she wants to be that way. But the way they are on the street today, hair cut like a man, wearing men's clothes, and then trousers. And then men turn around wearing women's clothes and a haircut like a woman. See, is a perversion. The whole thing, your food is perverted, your life is perverted, your task perverted, your desire is perverted. That is a deal of perversion. I was speaking here not long ago on Satan's Eden. God took 6,000 years and made a perfect Eden. Satan come over and sprayed them seed and deformed them. Now he's got 6,000 years and he has got his own scientific Eden right back again on a perversion of the right. And this is the age of hybriding. They even have got the churches today till their hybrid. That's right. They get in here, they just go to church. It's a lodge instead of a church. A church is a place where people come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. And today is a lodge. We go there and have a little time to shake hands and fellowship with some black coffee in the back of the building and go home till next week. And we've done our religious duty. Now it's a perverted age. And Satan perverting these tasks that God put in you to task. Satan is perverting them. Now, if you want to know the right perversion, If you, the women, want to be pretty, take 1 Timothy 2:9. That is the adorning themselves in model apparel with a Christ-like spirit, meek, subject to their husband, and so forth. That is the way that you should be. Adore your life to live. He perverts the true nature of God and the true task of God, of the body and soul, by lusting for sin. Sin, a perversion. Now we find out, a person today, the way you are, they have taken that perversion, task for God, the task for to be pretty, and all these tasks for water, they have turned that into satisfying that with drinking. The task for joy. Everybody wants to have joy. The task for fellowship. All these great things that God put in us, that we might task after him. God made you to task after him. And we try to satisfy it with some other kind of a task. With some other kind of a perversion of the correct task. See how is in the nature. See how is in the spirit. We think as long as we join church, that settles. That is all we have to do. Where? That is absolutely wrong. No. God wants you to task for him. As the heart pants for the water brook, my soul thirsts after thee, O God. See, now if that deer was panting for a water brook, what if somebody come along and another booty deer could come along and say, I tell you, I could do. I know where there is a mud hole down here where the deer wouldn't want that. If that wouldn't do any good. And there is nothing can satisfy that task that is in human being until God comes in. He must have it or die. And no person has a right to try to hush or satisfy that holy task that is in him by the things of the world. No, sir. It's ungodly to do so. And if you task for God, then don't shake hands with the preacher and put your name on the book. If you are tasting for God, there is only one thing to satisfy it. That is meet God. If you are tasting for God, that is the only way you can meet him, is to do that. And then there is a great danger also. If you don't watch what you are doing in that time, if you are tasting for God, be sure it is God you. See, be sure it is your task is satisfied. But if Satan has been able to pervert you from this natural appetite, and that he will do if he can, he will simply make you try to be satisfied. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then Brother Bram talks, let's jump to what Brother Bram talk about neglecting this task. Paragraph 178. We are jumping a lot. Paragraph 178. As we try to close. Listen attentively. Paragraph 178. Brother Bram said, I want you to see another great danger. I want you to see another great danger just before we close. If you are not guilty of any of these things that I have mentioned, and that is the danger of neglecting a task. See, you say, I have a holy task, but I'm not guilty, Brother Abraham, of just going and joining church and doing that and being like this. But see, to neglect a task, if you neglect to satisfy a task of water or food, you will die. If you neglect that task in you for God, you will spiritually die. You call for revivers. You wait for your church to have a revival. That aren't the revival for you. The revival ought to begin right in you. When you begin to task for God, there might not be another member of the church wanting that revival. If it breaks out in you, it will break out other places. But you neglect that task. You neglect to milk the cow. When the hoodie is full of milk, and if you neglect that cow stay like that, she will go dry. That is exactly right. If you neglect to take a drink of water, I just aren't going to drink anymore. You will die. You neglect to eat food, you will die. So if you neglect to give the Holy Spirit the word of God, you will die. You Christians, you Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, Oneness, Twoness, or Threeness, whatever you have, see, don't care. That don't matter nothing to me. I don't think it does to God. See, you are an individual. You are a unit. You will never go to heaven as a church or a denomination. You will go to heaven as one single person between you and God. That's all. Don't care what the church you belong to. And if you neglect to read the Bible and to believe the Bible and the Holy Spirit to feed upon that, you will die. Jesus said in St. John 4:3, the scripture, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. We take a little, bit here, I call that a Bible hitchhiker. They say, well, I believe this, but now, let's go over here. See, you've got to take it word by word. Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Did you know that? Amen. As we try to close, Brabham Grave, the story that he said he read sometimes ago, he said that story ever stuck with him. He said there is a prospector who was looking for gold. He had a dream to be a rich man. And he got to a mountain somewhere and he hit a good gold. He mined the gold and he was happy. He went to this place outside the city looking for this gold with his dog. Brabham said, far be he that he will represent the Holy Ghost with dog, but just to make a point. He said, after he got the gold, he was happy, and that night he wanted to sleep, rest his soul, because he has gotten what he wanted. He said, by tomorrow, I will be a rich man. So he got to the night that this dog was barking. Woo, 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 woo. And he said, hey, shut up. No, by tomorrow, I'm a rich man. So don't disturb me with your bark. As he tried to go to sleep again, this dog started barking again. He came out again and said, shut up. I say, shut up. I'm a rich man by this time tomorrow. So don't disturb me with your bark. He said he went to sleep again. After a little while, the dog started barking. He got angry. He took his shotgun. He shot the dog. Not knowing that some people were trailing him. And after he killed the dog, Barbara said he laid down his gun by one corner, turned his back to the gun, and slept off. That night, the people that were trailing him, they got him. They killed him. Because he will not listen to the warning, not the warning of a preacher this time around, but the warning of that the God placed in him to warn him that he has a need of God. God can use the preacher to bring it to our remembrance. That night he died. Brabham also told the story of a young lady that was in a denomination. This young lady was a Sunday school teacher in this denomination. This young lady saw another lady that was attending Brother Brown's church. He said, "You look like a antiquity, something in an antiquity shop." Said, "You, if you are listening to my broad, my broad-headed pastor, maybe you will have looked nice. But you listen to that your pastor that is bald in the head." That he was referring to Brother Abraham. Brother said, "This lady did not mind her because she knows what she believes. Not like the other lady that Brother Abraham talked about in the sermon life. That somebody said that, like we have said last, was it last Sunday? Was saying, so you mean you have never drank all this since you are born? You have never been kissed by anybody? You have never, you don't know what you are missing." And because of that, Brother Abraham said she turned her attention away from Christ to another thing. The man swayed his mind. That was why I was saying that last Sunday, we should know our worth. You should know what we carry. We should know who we are, that we are the sons and the daughter of the King of Kings. Praise thee, the Lord. I don't care what anybody says. If you know what you are, what you believe, if you know what you stand for, nothing anybody says we make you to feel bad about yourself and make put yourself as an object of pity. God forbid. May God help us. So this lady did not mind that denominational lady. She just went at home on her way. Rabbi says later the lady became a missionary. So this denominational lady, because she was a social girl, she got a social disease. And in the hospital, when she was dying, when the reality of her, when she realized where she was going, when her soul came up to speak, say, "You have neglected me all this while. The task for God that God gave you." Brother Brown said, "There is no excuse. Every human being have God put this task in all human beings. There is no human being that will say, 'I didn't have task for God.' You have. The only thing that you try to substitute something to take it over." So when she realized where she's going, she screamed and said, "I'm lost. I'm lost." He said, "Go call the pastor." When they called the pastor, he said, "You are a deceiver of men." He said, "You have deceived me all these years." That is why we preach the way we preach. We don't want to be guilty of any human blood in our hands. We will tell you the truth, but it is left for you what you do with the truth. You will not say in Christ's bright tabernacle, you are not told the truth. You are all witnesses. There is no servant of God here who does not preach righteousness. So if you do your own, if you go and do your life, it is between you and God. Because the servants of God here have made the truth known to you. We preach Christ. By the grace of God, we preach Christ. Praise ye the Lord. So, he said, "You have deceived me all this while. You are a deceiver of men." He told the pastor like that. Then the pastor said, came from the balcony smoking. Quickly put up the smoke. Said, "The doctor will give you hippo." And then, "I don't want no hippo. You deceiver of men." And he said, "Go call that lady." She was referring to the lady that was in Brother Brown's fellowship. Because she was right. Praise the Lord. There she died. So, brethren, we are telling ourselves the truth. There is a task God placed in us. And don't forget, it is only God that can satisfy that task. That is why we come to church. It is not the pastor that will satisfy that task. It is not any of the minister that will satisfy that task. It takes God only and God alone to satisfy that task. And the only way they can do it is if you come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he said, that rest is for what? Our soul. Praise ye the Lord. That is where the true rest lays, in our soul. Not in any, not satisfaction in any of the things of this world. But the true rest should rest in our soul. That is the Holy Ghost. May God help us. Let's bow down our heads. Think about these things. Why you commit yourself to the Lord? Only God can satisfy this thirst. Only Jesus can quench this thirst of the soul. And that is why he called us to preach the gospel to you. That you go to him and call on him to come and quench the thirst rightly in your soul. Call upon him. Commit yourself unto him once again this evening. Thirst. You can play that I'm dying a lot. If you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you raise up your hand to the Lord, that God, who sees your heart, who sees your hand, will remember you, while I ask our pastor to pray for us.
Blessed Lord, we come before the throne of mercy again at this hour through the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. Father, we want to thank you for the entire day, the Sunday school, the morning soak afternoon service, and this afternoon soak this evening service, Lord. You have spoken to us, you have taught us doctrine, you have rebuked. You have corrected, you have instructed us, Lord. Don't say Kobai is what you said, we make the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord Jesus, we don't want to be forgetful hearers. We don't want these things that we have heard since morning to start a witness against any of us on the day of judgment. Lord Jesus, we pray, O God, that our hearts that have received those things, may you please, Master, be bringing those things to our remembrance, even as we depart to go back to our homes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, O the young and the old, O God, when these thirsts arise, help us to look unto you, to guide us, to the real thing that will quench the thirst that you have put in us, Lord. May we not allow the enemy to try to pervert any of those thirsts in our lives. Thank you, Father. Replenish your servant that you have used today in diverse ways to bring a word unto us. May their effort over us never be in vain. Replenish them, Lord, for the virtue that has led them. Your servant that travel at our midst, where they shall be coming back, bring them back safely unto us, Lord. We leave the weak in your hands. Keep us at the center of your perfect will. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name. By whichever means we are going back home, take us home safely. It's our prayers, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Now we have a visitor in our midst, Brother Isaac Ebile. Can you? God bless you, sir. You are welcome. That's our in-law now. God, stand up, let everybody see you again. God bless you, sir. You are welcome. You are welcome. God bless you. So as we try to close to go to our various homes, let's sing a hymn before we depart. I love the man of Galilee.